Dean Perrone is with me in the studio. Dean is a local to Two Harbors and Minnesota Department of Natural Resources employer who has been very active in recent years, as we will soon learn. Thank you so much, Dean, for being here.
Great to be here again.
It's great to have you. And it's fun to have this interview in particular because we've had you before, but there's kind of some breaking news, which is that you and your team have recently won a pretty big award, a Climate Adaptation Award for all of North America in the work you're doing. Wow. So there's a lot to talk about here, Dean. Let's just start with, what's your role with the DNR?
Yeah, thanks. Some of you may have known me for the last 10 years as the area's fisheries supervisor out of the Finland area office. And this summer, I took a promotion, which I work on a statewide. I'm the Stream Habitat Program supervisor, so work with across the state with multiple entities on stream restoration projects. And specifically, one of my main jobs is securing funds from the Lasard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council to work on projects to make the streams repaired or to make them more resilient into the future.
Yeah, so that seems like a job that is just related to climate, but also just general maintenance. What percentage of your work is specifically about climate adaptation?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm also on two committees within the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. I'm the chair for the Fisheries and Wildlife Division's Climate Change Committee, and I also sit on our department's leadership climate team. So those two committees take up a good portion of our time. I like to think all the work I'm working on is climate related because restoration makes streams and rivers more resilient to the future. So I like to say it's 100%. It's kind of like when they talk about safety, you always incorporate safety into everything you do. And I like to incorporate the thoughts about being climate resilient into all our work.
Yeah. Wow. And I didn't know about this recent promotion, so congratulations. And I'm guessing that you do more traveling than you used to. Are you still able to pay attention to the North Shore streams, or is your work really going to be much more regional now?
Yeah. Not as much focus on the North Shore, but I was fortunate enough to let them me to stay in the North Shore. So my office is out of Duluth and the Paolucci building, even though I'm working on a statewide level. But yeah, I do a lot of work all over the state now, the Southeast and Red River and some in the Southwest. So yeah, but the North Shore is still dear to my heart. I live here and I recreate here, so still will still receive a lot of focus from me at least. So.
Phew. At least we won't be completely let go. But really, no, it is wonderful that your skills and your passion is able to be more broadly. And I know it's very new in this new job, but what are your first impressions of other regions and how they're doing?
Yeah.
Maybe too early to ask you that.
Yeah, no. Boy, we have a lot of great people out there doing a lot of great work. Some amazing work, especially in the Red River, where we were able to remove some old dams that are no longer functional. They provide a safety value because slowhead dams are very dangerous for swimming and boaters, but also fish passage. And we're seeing species increase in the Northwest and Red River from maybe a dozen species to 40, 50 species. We're seeing native mussels come back. We're seeing sturgeon spawn for the first time in rivers we've never seen. Some of the work on the North Shore has been great, but there's been a lot of great work across the state as well.
And hopefully that information gets shared and people don't reinvent the wheel in their own regions when they don't have to. Is that part of the idea?
Good point. Yeah, that's part of my goal is to have statewide vision and statewide planning. So been really active in climate change planning on the North Shore, and my goal is also to bring that type of planning and prioritization to a statewide basis.
Yep. And now let's talk a little bit of specifics. I know that there were many items on the list for what you got your award for, but amongst them was some planting on streams with cold water fish. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the Sea Award from the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, which covers all the agencies in the North America, recently recognized me for the Climate Leadership Award for in the state category. In the category, one of the items they listed was the work done on the North Shore. So we've been active, like working with partners the Nature Conservancy and the North Shore Collaborative of on some of our most coldest stream to keep them cold and resilient, shading from trees is important. And so we're planting trees that are predicted to be resilient to various climate change scenarios. So we're going in and planting in areas that have trees or no trees, shrubs that with hopefully with trees that will be long-lived conifers that will be here in 50, 60 years so that we don't lose that important shading to streams and the riparian vegetation components that protect streams. If we don't have vegetation along our streams, we can have impacts. So the thought is we put the smallest trees, plant them today in our coldest streams so that in the future we have trees there that are appropriate for the stream and help keep them cold.
And that helps the cold water fish too, correct?
Yeah, so most of my focus is trying to maintain resiliency on the streams that we have cold water fisheries. Often specifically brook trout is a very important cold water species. Another focus has been, first of all, we've using temperature data and modeling to look at predictions of which streams will remain cold into the future, and we're focusing our work on these watersheds first of the prioritization.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, one of the big changes is people probably, it's because it comes as a surprise that people live on the North Shore, we're seeing more large rain events more frequently. Through this, a lot of our culverts are undersized, and this causes damage to the stream. And often the culverts can't handle these big events, and they cause roads to wash out or culverts to fail and really can affect the infrastructure. We've been working with our road authorities, the counties, townships, the forestry departments to replace these culverts with large culverts that are designed for these large events and also allow natural stream processes to occur. And this allows fish to, where these culverts have become perched or the fish can't get through, it opens up these fish barriers and allows fish to reach important habitat, especially our cold water habitat. So that's been a big focus. But it's also, we just did a story on this where all the culverts we're replacing under the same rainfall events where they would flood and overtop the roads mm-hmm. are now passing water and passing trees. And a lot of the local road authorities, especially the smaller townships, are really thankful that they have these culverts that provide security, because if you're up in Finland, Minnesota, and a culvert washes out, you might have a 50-mile route to get somewhere. So not only has this work been great for fisheries, it's been a great infrastructure security opponent to adapting to climate change conditions.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge deal. I know just in a recent county board meeting, the highway engineer mentioned that the last big rain event that we had, you know, major event, I forget exactly when it was, but both he and the sheriff mentioned that we had no big infrastructure breaks, and they were just so grateful about that. And I'm sure that is exactly what you're talking about. Dean, just to bring it home to listeners here in Two Harbors area, what streams around here are specifically targeted as cold water streams, mm-hmm. or where have we gotten big culverts?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of the streams on the North Shore are cold water streams. Where we've been focusing are the streams that are predicted to remain cold into the future. The Baptism River is one that a lot of people recognize. We've done a lot of work on culverts up and down the Baptism. A lot of the sub-watersheds, the Hockaman sub-watershed, the Lindstrom Creek, the Sawmill Creek, all of these. I was just talking with the director of Wolf Ridge. We've replaced a couple culverts with them, and I should mention my partners, the Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District has been a huge component of this team, the Minnesota PCA, Lake County Engineers, the U.S. Forest Service. But I was talking with Wolf Ridge, and he was just so ecstatic about how these culverts are being replaced. And when they're teaching their classes, they're seeing on these small streams, he was showing me a picture of an 11-inch beautiful brook trout that they had seen in a small little stream that they'd never seen brook trout before, that after we replaced this culvert, they're out in their class, and they capture this little beautiful spawning brook trout, and just so excited. And then talking about infrastructure security, Wolf Ridge has one main road in and out of there.
Right.
And if that road washes out, they have, you know, perhaps dozens to hundreds of kids there that might need emergency rescue. So just another great example of working with partners and planning for future conditions and changing hydrology that we're seeing.
I'm so glad, Dean, that you're in this new job. I can just feel your optimism and just really positive action that, you know, I'm sure there are difficulties and there are budgets, but, you know, it's just such a win-win, everything that you're doing. And it sounds like there's just a lot of really good partners in our area that are all actively working on this. And it's just our whole region is going to benefit. Tell us again a little bit about this award. It was actually awarded in Calgary, Canada. This is a North American level award, and you were not there to receive it because here you are in Minnesota. But tell us a little bit about the process of what that is and how you came to be the recipient.
Yeah, it was quite a surprise and quite an honor, because even though I've worked very hard and passionate at it, it's always a teamwork, and you can never do anything without collaboration and all the other people involved. So you feel a little I don't know.
It's humbling.
Humbling.
I know.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for the right word. Humbling to receive this award. But yeah, so there's a nomination process. The Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies meets once a year for a national or international meeting. This year was in Calgary, Canada. And Trout Unlimited, the Nature Conservancy, a few other organizations, and some of my cohorts in the DNR took a lot of time out of their day to write up a very nice nomination process. It goes through a competitive process through all the other agencies out there, and the committee that selects it was very generous in selecting myself to receive this leadership award. And it's really recognizing the work of myself, but all the others, to bring adaptation practices into fruition. I've also, on a statewide basis, lead a community of practice of adaptation for the DNR, just working with all the people that are out there doing these practices to spread the techniques and the knowledge. So yeah, it was quite an honor. I found out just a few weeks before the ceremony that I was selected, but anyone that works for the state, you know, giving out-of-country travel orders in 2 weeks is nearly impossible. So I was really honored to still receive the award virtually. And so, yeah, it's to be recognized by peers is, to me, one of the highest honors you can get. And so I'm just really thankful that I work with such great people on various agencies, and that they recognize the work and passion I've had for trying to make sure our systems are resilient into the future. I love to think that my work is going to be there for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Yeah, and I love to think about just the long-term benefit, too, to the North Shore area, whether or not you're focused on us in your future. It just seems like, you know, I hope North Shoreites are aware. I mean, there's just so many people that visit here. And, of course, those of us who live here that are lucky to do that, it is a pretty dramatic landscape here, and we have, you know, these major river gorges, and, you know, just that someone has really been paying attention, and not just someone, but many agencies altogether. I just think we are such beneficiaries of your work, and so I just want to thank you, Dean, on so many levels for this. If people want to learn more about this, or even want to learn about, you know, what do I do with the creek running by my house, what would you suggest?
Oh boy, great question. I'll shout out to the Lake County Soil and Water District.
Yep.
They have some great people that work there and are very knowledgeable about what private landowners can do on their private land to make things better and more resilient. So that would be a great place. The DNR website can be a little clunky to work through, but there's some great information out there in streams. And there's a lot of great organizations, Midwest Climate Resilience Center out of the Twin Cities. There's a U.S. Forest Service site, North America, I'm sorry.
That's all right. You're giving us lots of info.
Climate change, a research station. But, you know, a search for climate change and just the keywords, you know, what can citizens do? And there's a lot of great groups from legislation to mitigation to adaptation. So there's an internet full of opportunities out there. And I'm sure, Katya, you have a few that you could point to as well. So.
Well, and I also just agree with you that maybe the best place to start is Lake County Soil and Water, just because they're personable, they're right here, and they can direct you elsewhere if you need to be directed elsewhere. So hopefully we will continue to grow a young and old cohort of people that are just really actively looking at all the fish and the streams and all that is connected to that. I mean, it's all connected, isn't it? So anyway, thank you so much, Dean, for being with us. We're out of time, but I will have you again.
Sounds great. Thanks again, Katya.
That was Dean Perrone. He is the recipient of the Climate Adaptation Award for North American climate adaptation.